Net Radio.
Welcome to another dimension, a dimension of insight, a dimension of understanding. You are entering the place where reality collides with truth. There are no limits, there are no boundaries. This is Off Planet Radio.
And Off Planet Radio, Sheriff Richard Mack, retired sheriff, and the voice behind the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. The website is CSPOA.org. And Sheriff Mack, it's good to have you on and welcome.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on.
First off, I guess by way of introduction, there may be a few people out there, it's hard to imagine at this point, who don't know specifically who you are, but also the origins and mission of CSPOA.
Well, I'm just a former police officer and sheriff who did something pretty crazy. The first thing I did crazy when I was a rookie cop was I went to a training seminar for police called Constitutional Studies for Law Enforcement Officers. And I got converted to the Constitution, and I decided that I would follow the Constitution before anything else in my career. And then about 6 or 7 years after I went to that class, I left the police department in Utah that I had started in and that I really liked. I really enjoyed my education there. And I moved home to Arizona where I grew up, and I ran for Grand County Sheriff. And I guess that was another crazy thing, but I won and was reelected in 1992. And probably the craziest thing I ever did was I was the first sheriff in American history to sue the federal government, take the case all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and win a landmark decision on the issue of state sovereignty, states' rights, and that the federal government cannot tell us what to do. It's a major, wonderful, miraculous case that every one of your listeners should read. And I've written several books, and a lot of the cases covered in my books, or you can get a little booklet called The Victory for State Sovereignty that's on my website, and all my books, especially my most recent book called Are You a David, is there. And the book that has done the best that I've ever written was The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And I would say that if you would get those three books, The Victory for State Sovereignty, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, and Are You a David, if you read all of those, you would have the equivalent of a 4-year degree education as far as the Constitution and states' rights and state sovereignty and the 10th Amendment go. And you should also get those three things for your sheriff and other local officials if you really want to start saving and changing America.
In the course of your work over the years, and obviously being a high-profile figure in favor of states' rights and also constitutional law officers, do you now find that there is a wider acceptance, let's say, going back to roots of the constitutional principles among your fellow law enforcement officers, or are we moving in the opposite direction now?
Wait, I'm sorry, say that last part again.
Are we moving in the opposite direction? In other words, when I look out at the landscape of America right now, I think most people are seeing increasing aggression, mostly among community police officer groups. And there seems to be the sense right now that the police generally in America have been militarized and moved away from their traditional roles as policing to the community.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I will say that one of the greatest problems with that has been the drug war. Yeah, everybody wants a SWAT team to go after any amount of drugs. The SWAT team mentality has taken over law enforcement. Everybody wanted to be like the 1980 show SWAT and
Miami Vice,
Hill Street Blues, and all the others. And you know, I'll tell you what: you can ask any cop, and if they're telling you the truth, they will tell you that TV shows and movies had a great impact on what they wanted to do in law enforcement and why they wanted to be in law enforcement. And if they say it didn't have any impact on them, they're lying. I'm sure there might be some that aren't. I mean, but I would say 90% of the people who got into law enforcement, myself included, wanted to be like what we saw on TV and movies. And the high-speed pursuits and the kicking in the door, hauling the guy in and, you know, making the big haul, making the big case, and catching the murderer, just like we see on TV, that's what we all wanted to do. And then you find out that when you get in law enforcement, it's pretty boring.
Yeah.
And it is. And I'm glad law enforcement's boring. It should be boring because you want a peaceful place to where there's not a lot of action going on every night and that you're patrolling neighborhoods that are quiet and peaceful. And this SWAT team mentality kind of gives cops some added toys to play with. And we have way abuse that. And I'll give you the statistic on that. In 1985, when I was still pretty much a rookie cop, we had about 5,000 drug raids with SWAT teams nationwide, or SWAT team raids, period, no matter what they were for. And last year, we had about 85,000. And that's how ridiculous it's gotten, and your point is well taken. And the law enforcement community needs to wipe its own nose and clean up its own act and get the people where we trust them again. And they have earned a lot of the mistrust that the people of America have. And one of the places they need to start doing this is with the ridiculous wholesale distribution of traffic tickets that have nothing to do with public safety, but have everything to do with revenue collection.
Exactly.
And our patrol officers should be friends to the public and not tax collectors. And this is very well documented, and it's also included in my books. And that issue is a hot topic in my books. And how we take America back is plain and simply that the local officials, especially sheriffs and chiefs of police and patrol officers, all rededicate themselves not to the over efficiency of the enforcement of laws, but the return to our oath of office and putting liberty first, and that we literally are the guards of the Constitution as we have sworn to do. If we get every sheriff and peace officer in this country to do one simple thing, keep your word when you raised your right arm and swore to uphold and defend the United States Constitution. If we have every peace officer and sheriff in this country do that, then freedom will be restored to America tomorrow. We don't have to wait for the next campaign. We don't have to wait for the next election. It will happen tomorrow. And this is what these people have promised to do in the first place. And we can still write a few tickets here and there, especially ones that are justified, instead of just sitting there all day doing what they do today, where there's a legitimate threat to the peace and safety of the public, and where there's a legitimate victim, then yes, go ahead and get involved. Otherwise, stay out there and patrol our neighborhoods, patrol our streets, and yes, promote safety and ultimately promote liberty. And if we had the police of this country focusing on liberty, knowing and understanding the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we will change America tomorrow.
Now, in all fairness, we've focused so far on the police officers and I guess what you would call the boots on the ground. But behind the scenes, there is a mechanism that exists both within, I will say, the administrative aspects of police and also the court system, which has actually been, I guess, an incentive for this aggressive enforcement of not really even laws, but statutes and codes that are, from my understanding of law, are basically private law, community law, law that is corporate. So in all fairness to the police officers out there, a lot of them are not aware of exactly the nature of the laws that they enforce. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but...
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, but the thing of it is, we still have to put fairness, honesty, integrity, and God's law above all that other stuff that you said. You know, the corporate constitution or the corporate United States, no officer in this country, no sheriff, no cop, has any obligation to go along with any of that, whether they know about it or not. And yeah, there's got to be a little bit of a time frame for us to re-educate these guys or get them deprogrammed. I agree with that. But that I've been doing this for 5 years. We've had the CSPOA for 3.5 years. And our goal at CSPOA is to educate the cops in this country. You know, they can pick up my books real easy. I also have another, just a 30-page book that's called The Proper Role of Law Enforcement. And it talks about the oath of office, and it talks about the wholesale distribution of tickets and why we do stupid things in law enforcement, like administrative checkpoints and DUI checkpoints and all these checkpoints, on New Year's Eve when people are out drinking and whatnot, so the cops set up all these roadblocks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to get drunk drivers off the road, but we are not allowed to violate the Constitution, even if the Supreme Court says, yes, you can violate people's rights, you can go ahead and stop everybody. There is no way any cop, any chief, any sheriff can look at the Supreme Court in the eye and say, do you guys really know what you're saying here by saying roadblocks are legal? You're saying that the Nazi-type tactics that are supposed to be illegal here are okay. We have to have probable cause according to the Fourth and Fifth Amendments of this of our Constitution, of the Bill of Rights. You have to have probable cause before a cop can stop anybody. And now you're saying we can stop everybody without probable cause. That is absolutely absurd that our nation's police officers and our leaders in law enforcement continue to allow that atrocious tactic to be used in America. It should not be used. Some places, some states have actually made it illegal, but the Constitution has already made it illegal. And so it's time for the cops to get going. It's time for you to change who you are, change your approach to how you deal with people, and let's put freedom and liberty first. And I believe, and I will say this, despite all the horrible press that cops have received lately and all the horrible situations you can see on YouTube, that there's a lot of good people that wear the badge. Now it's time to look at this seriously, look at yourself in the mirror, and let's do the right thing. Good people doing the wrong thing is the worst that could happen to our country and to our neighborhoods and to the principle of community policing. And so there's a lot to do, but there's a blueprint for it. I am preaching it, teaching it, working it as much as possible. Every one of your listeners can join us and help us with this cause. And you can become a member, and you can make a donation, and you can buy a book. And right now, we are sponsoring and paying for about 7 or 8 sheriffs to attend the National Sheriff's Caravan to Washington, D.C., and they're not driving, they're flying, most of them, and they're going there to oppose Barack Obama's wholesale allotment of amnesty. And he's not allowed to do that. And we're going there to oppose it. And it's really frightening that Washington, D.C. will move on such legislation without talking to local sheriffs and cops and ask them, what's the problem that you're experiencing because we're not securing the border? How's the infrastructure of your county? How's the crime rate of your county? How many illegal aliens have you encountered and have in your jail? And they make no effort whatsoever to approach sheriffs to see the real problem, and they just go on their merry way with their political agenda to give amnesty to about 5 million criminals. And whether we like it or not, they are criminals. It's illegal to do this. And if you tried to do it in Mexico, you'd find yourself in prison. And so we need to make sure that another point on the amnesty thing, the one community that Barack Obama promised to help the most, and that was black Americans who are unemployed, this actually makes things so much worse for them, and that they will be competing with 5 million illegal aliens who are now granted amnesty for the jobs that these people need the most.
In terms of the problems you've spoken about, the drug war, the immigration issue, and you're heading to Washington, D.C., as I understand it, yourself early this weekend. Is that correct?
It's the 10th of December,
okay.
So about 5 days.
Okay. And in that time, are there other groups involved with this? I assume that the marshals and the sheriffs and law enforcement officers is not the only groups attending this?
Well, actually, the National Sheriff's Association, this is probably the first time that they and I have seen eye to eye and agree on the same issue. So this has been endorsed by the National Sheriff's Association, and several other state associations are supporting it. But this was just a group of sheriffs who decided to try to do something about it. Sheriff Hodson from Massachusetts has shown a lot of leadership in getting this going, and Sheriff Sam Bate from North Carolina. And he has talked at some of our conventions about this issue because, quite frankly, he has experienced a great deal of crime and problems associated with illegal immigration. And so he just said, hey, we can't do our jobs out here if the federal government doesn't do its job and secure our border. And so Sheriff Page and Sheriff Hodson have taken upon themselves to organize this caravan and march with sheriffs to Washington. I think it's a tremendous event, and it's very historical when you consider that this is the first time ever that sheriffs have done such a thing, trying to straighten out Congress and the President of the United States.
Well, and it's necessary. As the only designated law enforcement officer in the organic Constitution, I think this is a big statement that needs to be made, and I would hope that law officers and other people working in the legal profession would join lockstep with you and make this a unified front.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have some that can't go who are signing letters for us to present to the White House and to Congress so that they know that this isn't just an elitist group of sheriffs. This isn't just some far right-wing faction of the sheriffs of this country, that it's most of the sheriffs in this country that absolutely want something done to provide security at our border.
You work at all with Oath Keepers on issues related to what I would call overlapping interest?
Yeah, well, of course. I'm actually on the board of directors with Oath Keepers, and we really appreciate the work that they've been doing.
Because it seems to me that while, and it's true, that you guys really are the thin blue line right now for the Constitution, that the military people in this country, and there are many of them now, and I've spoken with, you know, several of them on this show, who have indicated as well that they understand the depth of erosion that's going on in the constitutional rights of this country. So I'm wondering if you're also getting the pulse from military people that they also need to step up.
Yeah, we're saying that to everyone. We're saying it to our military, our nation's military, soldiers, whoever, peace officers. Don't obey unconstitutional commands and orders from your supervisors. Don't. Tell them you won't do that. And let them know that, especially a cop, if he's asked to confiscate guns from law-abiding Americans, tell him no. Stand down. And it's not against the law to do that. In fact, it's upholding the law when we do that. And yeah, it would take a little courage, I admit that. But a lot have done it, and we need a lot more doing it. And can you imagine that a deputy sheriff, patrol officer, tells his chief or his lieutenant, I'm not going to take guns from that person. One deputy did that in Pennsylvania. He was asked to arrest a pastor and his followers for protesting in front of an abortion clinic.
I'm familiar with this. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, this officer said, no, they haven't done anything wrong. I'm not going to arrest them. Why would I arrest somebody for peaceably assembling and protesting, which they have a constitutional right to do? Another deputy in Albany, New York, refused to arrest some people handing out flyers in the airport, telling people how the TSA fondling and groping was illegal. And so the airport authority asked the deputy to arrest them. And he goes, well, what have they done? I said, well, they're trespassing. We told them to leave. Well, what were they doing for you to tell them that? They're handing out these flyers. Well, they have a right to do that. They're not hurting anybody. If people don't want the flyer, tell them not to take it or throw it in the trash can. But he says, I'm not going to arrest them. Well, that was Sheriff Deputy Stan Lennick, and he was the Deputy Sheriff of the Year in 2013 for the CSPOA. Now, I'm asking your listeners, do you want us to keep doing that? Do you want us to have a constitutional sheriff in your county? Do you want a constitutional sheriff in your county? Do you want a sheriff that tells the federal government, you can come into my county and do whatever you want? I don't have the authority to interfere or to protect my citizens from what you do. They'll have to get a lawyer and sue you. But I am not going to interfere. I don't have the authority to do that. Or do you want a sheriff, as we have had many do already, tell the federal government, look, when you come into my county, you check with me. I want to see your paperwork. And before you victimize anybody in my county, I want to make sure that your paperwork is in order and that you're following the Constitution. Which sheriff do you want in your community? Do you want the buffer and sheriff that makes sure that things are happening correctly? Or do you want somebody who just sits back and lets the federal government do whatever they want? Come on, tell me which one you want. And then, if you want the constitutional sheriff, get involved with us and help us create a lot more. Mm.
Yeah, ultimately, this comes down to not military and peace officers. It comes down to the American people. And, you know, that looks to me like the biggest re-education project of all, because most people in America right now don't know the law, don't know the Constitution, and have no idea what constitutional law officers are up against.
Well, that's true, and that's where we come in, and we've been doing it. But I will tell you, it needs to be bigger, better, and faster, and that needs to happen right now. And this is a grassroots effort. We're not funded except by the people who join our organization. And so that's why I really stress, if you want us to help sheriffs stand for freedom in your county, if you want to promote liberty and the oath of office, if you want to restore our Constitution as the supreme law of the land, county by county, sheriff by sheriff, and state by state, then we're asking you to join with us. Just go to CSPOA.org and become a member. Make a donation. If you can donate $100 or $2 or $5,000, do it at that location because we really need the help.
And where do people find your book, Sheriff Mack? Are they also on the website at CSPOA?
It's on my website, yep. Yeah, just go to CSPOA.org, and they're all there. I think a couple of them are on Amazon, but I have about 8 books, and they're all available at the website.
One final round here, because I want to say this. I appreciate you coming on. I know you've been traveling. I know you're looking at another travel coming up, and that you're very busy right now, and you took the time to do this interview. Can you talk a little bit about Ferguson and what happened there, and how that is kind of, I think, a flashpoint for America right now to wake up?
Yeah, I think Ferguson has exposed a lot about what's wrong with America and what's wrong with leadership. Because, first of all, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
They gave notice. The leaders, the governor, the chief of police, local officials, the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., they all knew this was going to happen. They knew the riots were going to be there, and they did really very little to stop it. The National Guard was brought in, and all they did was stand in front of the government buildings and protected them, but did very little to protect the private businesses of local Americans. And I think that's very telling. But that the people who did this, I think it tells a lot about who they are, about the lack of class and character that they have, that they are all a bunch of crooks, that they have parents who don't give a dang what they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, if my child was out there, I don't care if he's 30 or 40 or 10 years old or 18 years old. I'm going to go out there and yank him by the ear and drag him home if I have to. He's not going to be out there acting like a thug and a crook and a looter. And what kind of class parents does somebody have that allow their kids to go do that? Or what kind of a person are you that you would go burn your neighbor's business down because of what, something that you disagree with that happened to somebody you don't even know? And I will say this. I've been disappointed in some of the things that Officer Wilson did.
Mm-hmm.
He should not have done that interview with Stephanopoulos on ABC. That was wrong.
Yeah.
It was very callous and cold. He should have reached out only to the Brown family and apologized to them. Whether he did something wrong as far as his police training goes or not, he should have reached out to them and said, "I am so sorry that I did this. I didn't want to shoot your son. This will affect me for the rest of my life, and I am sorry." He should have reached out for them in that way. But primarily, this is what every peace officer, at least me and my experience, actually had nightmares about doing. Because you don't know that in shooting an unarmed man, that you could have done something differently to stop it, to prevent this. And it appears to me that he could have. And I'm not trying to judge him or anyone else that has ever done, had this horrible situation forced upon them in law enforcement. But when it comes to shooting an unarmed person, that's when you'll always second guess, and you'll get second guessing from everybody, and including me, and I am second guessing this somewhat. But he should not have gone on nationwide television talking about the particulars of how this happened and that he was just following training and what he had been trained to do. Because he should have, according to training, he should have waited for backup. And he should have simply taken a step back and assessed what was going on. And was he in a very dangerous, volatile situation? Yes. And it's hard to do what's right sometimes when you're in such an adrenaline rush mm-hmm. situation. I know, I've been there. Mm-hmm. But he should have called for backup, and he should have waited for backup. And this is when it's hard, and you're always going to have this happen. When you shoot somebody who's unarmed, this is what's going to happen. I'm not saying he was wrong. I'm not saying he was right. I'm just saying when you shoot somebody that's unarmed, this type of thing is going to happen, and it's going to plague him the rest of his life. And I feel sorry for him and his family, and I feel sorry for the Brown family. And but you know what? There's a lot of blame to go around on this. and the Brown family has a lot of it, and Officer Wilson has some of it.
Yeah, and I actually think that that's the most intelligent analysis we can come away from all of this, is if we're honest and we do a little bit of introspection on ourselves. I mean, I view this as part of an examination of the national psyche and the spiritual condition of the country right now, because I find it intolerable on both sides what occurred, and it's a tragedy that we don't want to see repeated in America. Sheriff Mack, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know that you have a busy schedule. Anything else you want to say as we go out of this interview?
Well, I want to thank everybody who has been with us and the support. And I will say again, it's vital that each of you get involved in this process to restore freedom to America in a peaceful manner. And that's what we're about. This will be peaceful if we get the people and public officials across this country working together hand in hand to restore freedom to America and our Constitution as the supreme law of the land. If you're not getting involved, then you're part of the problem. So God bless all of you, and if anybody needs to get with me, just my information's on our website at cspoa.org.
And we will post that information as well. Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. The website is cspoa.org. And that ends this interview. We'll be back with the next segment.
This is On Planet Radio.